It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's March, and that means it's festival time on Iowa Public Television. Now, of course, that means fundraising, but it also means that it's time for the premiere of some exciting new programs. We're going to preview two programs premiering this week, and I do need to disclose that Iowa Public Television is an underwriter of Iowa Public Radio. I also do a little work for IPTV myself. In a few minutes, we'll find out about the new IPTV production, Iowa Land and Sky. But first, The Happiness Machine is a documentary about Carl Hayes and the way he's chosen to live his life on 22 acres of land in Dallas County near Adel. Here's a moment from the documentary.
I live on the promised land. The promised land is 22 acres of the great Iowa soil that I came to own when it was nothing but timber and farmland. And over a period of many years, I brought it from that to what was a dream, and which I have come to call idyllical, an independent, do-it-yourself, low-consumption, agrarian lifestyle. This is living happily ever after.
That's just a moment from the documentary, The Happiness Machine, from director Rebecca Bloomhagen. That debuts on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. on Iowa Public Television. And Carl Hayes, the subject of the documentary, is here with me now. Hello, Carl.
Well, hello there, Charity.
Thank you for being here. And Carl, you gave us a little snippet of your personal philosophy there, but I want to take a moment to talk about the land that you lived on, that you do live on. This is where you grow up as well?
Yes. It's part of the land of where I grew up. That's correct.
And your father gave you an important lesson about this land when you were a child. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, my father was a sharecropper during my early childhood, and he, of course, always wanted to own Iowa land. And finally, when I was about 12 years old, he bought 8 acres of land. It's the first land that he had owned. And he and I were alone when he first walked onto that piece of property. And when we got there, he stopped at the gate. And as we opened the gate, he stopped to have a little ceremony, which was to share with me what he thought was the great blessing of owning land. And there's more about that in the film, but that I was quite impressed. It stayed with me for my whole life.
And although you grew up on this land, you went on to do what so many of us do. You went to school, you had a career. What brought you back to the land?
Well, I never forgot it, really. I traveled far and wide, but I kept thinking to myself, you know, one day I'd like to go back to Iowa, too, and live on the beautiful land, as it were. And it just so happened that eventually I got the opportunity to do that.
You are described in several different ways in information about this documentary as an inventor, as a tinkerer, but you have built your home on this land and really come up with, you do so much with your hands. Tell me a little bit about what you do with your property.
Well, everything that's been done here essentially we have done. It was completely clean of buildings or any other development when we started. So we built roads, and of course we built the house and the other outbuildings that are here, and have cleared timber, harvested timber, and of course we grow about a few acres of hay crop to sell. But all of these activities require an enormous amount of making things that will act as tools of one sort or another. And So it, as it turns out, the entire experience has been mostly an exercise in things to make and do. And the fortunate thing was that I brought a lot of those skills with me.
And clearly you love living this way. For people who are going to be watching this documentary, I know a lot of people will be fantasizing about, you know, if I could get away from it all and live this kind of life in a rural area. But most of us can't do that. But what lessons do you think all of us can take away from the happiness you and your wife have found living this way?
Well, I don't hold my experience or our experience up as a model for anyone, because you're quite right. There are a lot of reasons why people can't do this. However, my hope is that by watching the film, you will be inspired to think about what led us here and how we lived after we got here. This doesn't have to be an agrarian lifestyle in order to share some of the benefits of it. So I do hope not to mislead anyone to trying to do this without really thinking about it a long time first. I had many benefits that others don't have. For the skills are one example, but the chance to buy the land at the time that I was young enough to do all of this, and not too old to enjoy it. And I'm just hoping that others will find some inspiration for their own lives. I do want to explain one thing about independent, which is the first of those long line of words. Independent does not mean free from other people or the things around it. What independence refers to is making choices, thinking about your choices. Do I really want this? Can I really do this? Is this fair to the people around me? And so on and so on. And everybody can do that. And I'm hoping that some of the choices we made will encourage others, but not necessarily to do exactly what we have done.
The name of the documentary is The Happiness Machine, and that comes from one of your inventions, one of the things you've put together with your hands. Tell me about your happiness machine.
Well, a happiness machine is essentially an electrical ice cream freezer, what was a hand-turned ice cream freezer. And many years ago, when my children were young, I wanted to carry on the family tradition of making homemade ice cream. And, of course, they didn't want to turn. They wanted to eat, but they didn't want to turn.
Like all of us.
So I got this grand idea of turning a bicycle upside down to power it. And once it did that successfully, I thought, well, what greater happiness? So it became the happiness machine. And it's also named after a story in a book called Dandelion Wine, which has a story of another happiness machine that's always been impressive for me. So that's how we got the happiness machine.
Well, Carl, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Carl Hayes, he is the subject of a new documentary called The Happiness Machine about his life on his 22 acres of land in Dallas County, and it debuts on Iowa Public Television tomorrow evening. We're going to talk now about something that's debuting on Iowa Public Television tonight at 6:30. It's Iowa Land and Sky. It's a natural history lesson and a love letter to our beautiful state. It features stunning aerial videography as well as close-up on-the-ground camera work. Let's listen to just a moment from Iowa Land and Sky.
Along the western rim of Iowa, an early spring ritual begins. These hills of windblown silt, built by an accumulation over millennia, are set for human intervention by a team of trained firefighters. The prairie grasses that coat the Luss Hills are about to be set ablaze. The brown grass of early spring is turned black, but a rejuvenation of the Lusk Prairie is just beginning. The controlled burn helps reduce invasive species, restore nutrients to the soil, and boost the coming summer, all to help the Lusk Hills turn from brown to black and eventually to explode again with life.
That's just a moment from Iowa Land and Sky. And with me is executive producer Andrew Bott. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And of course, Iowa Land and Sky, it's debuting this week on Iowa Public Television. But you have been sharing these videos as a web series starting last fall. Tell me a little bit about the concept for the project.
Well, it started about 2 years ago when we wanted to show our state from a different perspective, in part on the ground, but a lot of it aerially using aerial drones. And we thought that we could give Iowans a different view of the landforms, landscapes, their towns, and in this documentary, even some of the cultural events that we know that are uniquely Iowan. And we wanted to incorporate it into a general audience documentary, which is premiering tonight. But we also incorporated many of the educational resources IPTV has to use these tools. And in the clip you just ran, for example, in the Lusk Hills, we spent a lot of planning to fly over a very large prairie burn throughout the Lusk Hills and then show that process of the rejuvenation over months, taking those drones back in and flying over and seeing the prairie rejuvenate.
And the videography in this series is really stunning. Did this grow out of getting a new toy for cameramen to use?
Well, to keep a theme going, I think the ice cream machine was a happiness machine there. These drones at times were a happiness machine for us because they allowed us to see our state from a different perspective. But we had some people on our staff that had experience in drones, and they advised us, this takes time. It's not like flying in other states. They've used helicopters to fly across the state. You're further up, and they zip around the state in a matter of days. Drones take more time. They take time. They take training. You need to be safe about it. So it took 2 years of training, doing this legally, and to be able to be in all these places across the state at sometimes at that perfect sunset moment on the Lusk Hills or at sunrise on the Mississippi River in Lansing or down at Keokuk. So it took time.
Absolutely. And you've incorporated a number of these shots into other projects at Iowa Public Television. But I mean, this is such a showcase for this kind of photography, but also just for how incredibly beautiful our state is. It must be so much fun to edit these pieces together and really see how stunning they are.
It is. And there's so much footage we've shot. You've got to boil it all down. And what viewers and Iowans are going to see tonight is the best of the best across the entire state. We spend time on the western rim of Iowa, as you use that clip, during a prairie burn. We show you everywhere up from Okoboji to down south near Council Bluffs in southwest Iowa. We go across central Iowa. We have some very unique perspectives at the state capitol here in Des Moines. We flew over the state fair during the state fair. So we also incorporated some cultural events like that and down in Pella during the Pella Tulip Festival. So it's landscapes, it's towns, and it's something that I think when Iowans see it, they'll be very proud of their state.
Let's talk about some of the specific experiences you've had. One at the Kate Shelley High Bridge near Boone. Tell me about shooting there.
Yeah, we had this great idea to go to the Kate Shelley High Bridge in a snowstorm and fly a drone. It actually worked out really well. We didn't know. It happened to be a dry kind of snow. It was very cold. And the aerial drones we used were very robust. They fly up at speeds as high as 55, 60 miles an hour with a tailwind. And it was a unique experience. And it's something Iowans will see tonight, that it kind of creates a sense of mood and history there. There's two bridges there now, but the Kate Shelley Bridge has a long history, dating back more than 100 years. And it's just a great view of something that maybe a lot of Iowans may have seen, but they've never seen like this.
And it sounds like an intense experience filming as well. Does it get a little scary sometimes?
It does. It really, really, really does. At times, you know, we didn't have any major accidents in the process of this, but you are flying an object with a camera on it at 50 miles an hour around a lot of different places and locations. And, you know, over time, we got more used to it. But there are some hair-raising times, especially when we were dealing with wildlife.
I'm sure. Well, you have used a lot of this in conjunction with the Raptor Resource Project in on the Mississippi River, and we've seen some wonderful footage of the Decorah eagles. But you were using this drone technology with peregrine falcons?
Yes. So this is one of the ideas when we first started. You have a lot of ideas of how you want to use technology. You never know if time, resources, weather is going to work out. But the great folks at the Raptor Resource Project, where many Iowans see their work this week with eagles on eaglet eggs in Decorah, they also do a lot of work with peregrine falcons along the upper Mississippi. It's a long-term project their original founder, Bob Anderson, created. We wanted to be able to show those beautiful bluffs and see that process of them climbing down the bluffs. Well, when they do that, and this team is very trained. They've done it for decades. They're so experienced. They know how to do this carefully and get approval from the Fish and Wildlife Service. The X factor is on this was flying an aerial drone, which are loud and could be maybe interpreted as a predator around the mother peregrine falcons in that situation. So we had a lot of people watching that, trying to see, as I was nervous about it a little bit, because they said, we just don't know how they're going to react if the peregrines, which are the fastest animals on the planet, would descend and attack the drone. Obviously, we did not want that to happen, and that's not what happened. And we got some amazing images from that process, but it was hair-raising.
I'm sure. And you've also featured a few of the quirky spots around the state of Iowa, the highest point, Snake Alley, which is, everyone should go there, but it's great to see it from an aerial view as well. What was filming in Snake Alley like?
It was neat. You know, I've worked in Iowa Public Television for 15 years. There are places I got to go on this that I haven't ever seen, and Snake Alley happened to be one of them. I just haven't been there before, and I happen to be able to go and get a really great perspective when you get up 100 feet and can look right down at how that winds through
Burlington.
That path. Yeah, and Burlington, and see Burlington in a way that that's really beautiful.
Well, Andrew Bott, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks, Charity.
Andrew Bott is the executive producer of Iowa Land and Sky. It is a web series. You can find it online, but also the hour-long documentary will premiere tonight on Iowa Public Television at 6:30. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.